Hi, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbirds. I want to introduce this young lady we met at Mad Life. She was opening for Taylor Dayne, which is a big feat in itself. So we're gonna get into all of that. We're gonna get into her music, but let me let her introduce herself, Miss Morgan Beck.
Hello, like you said, my name is Morgan. I'm a singer-songwriter here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I got the opportunity to meet you actually just a few weeks ago at Taylor Dayne's show. It was an honor to meet you and be a part of this. I'm excited to talk more and tell you about a little bit more of the back end of my music career. So
And we are here on April Fool's Day. So guys, what we say will be true. I promise. There won't be any jokes. Well, I won't say there won't be any jokes. There won't be anything that's not
right.
true.
Yeah.
So how'd you get started, Morgan?
So I started writing music and kind of messing around with GarageBand, if anybody knows what that is,
Yes.
on the Mac computer. But I would do that just after school. Sometimes I would make little beats here and there and come up with little lyrics or do covers of songs and harmonize and stack my vocals. And that was always like recess to me. And I'll never forget doing just little stuff like that and listening back to it and just being like, that'd be cool to do that someday. But, never did anything more with that. I was more of an art girl growing up in school. So I do art class and I still like to draw and do art things, but I recently took it seriously. And when I say recently, probably back in 2018 was where I got more invested into recording and, getting a nice microphone and doing things more seriously and taking my own songs into Logic Pro and recording them myself and, getting more interested in that and posting things on social media and putting myself out there instead of just looking at it as a little hobby that I keep secret. But a lot of people were shocked whenever I posted stuff because all throughout high school, no one knew me as like a singer. I was more so just like the art girl. So it was one of those things where I just made a social media account, Morgan Beck Music, and started doing covers and recording my tracks and posting stuff like, hey, this is a song I wrote a few days ago. What do y'all think? And then it started to be really special when my producer, his name's Scott Zadig, he reached out to me and I knew him from a mutual friend. And he had said, hey, I hear you music. Would you like to do a cover of Ocean Eyes? I have my band. We want you to sing on this track. And I'll never forget, I recorded it actually in the back of my car because the acoustics were the most enclosed. You know how it is, you have to have like pillows or whatever to get the best sound. And I was recording, I was in Athens at attending UGA at the time, had a called the Blue Snowball microphone. I kid you not, it's probably like the size of this. And
Okay.
I recorded in the back seat, just propped it up with my little laptop, and I worked as best as I could with the vocals there, and he mixed it, mastered it, and everything. And so that was the first thing I put out, was that Ocean Eyes cover. So there's that. But yeah, that's kind of how it first started. And then ever since then, he's always helped me with my originals, and now I'm doing shows with him, and he's definitely a huge part of my story. So if it weren't for him, I don't think I would have really been able to take it seriously. Eventually, maybe, but he's someone I have to thank for. So shout out to Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody you have want to give a shout out to, I do not care, really. I mean, I know people are like, oh, well, you got to be careful. No, not me. I don't care if it's another podcast, if it's a if it's an artist, if it's a producer. I don't care, really, because there's so
Right.
many people that go into making a project.
100%.
And because you use it, I want to ask, I use GarageBand for the podcast. So what I'll do is everything that we do here will be audio only. So I'll take the audio out and I put it in GarageBand. I edit it down.
Yeah,
I've been
nice.
looking into Logic. So you have to, is
Okay.
Logic easy? Do you like Logic? How does that work?
I have Logic Pro, but I was used to GarageBand for a long time. Since I was so familiar with GarageBand, that's why I've had a harder time being comfortable with it and really feeling like I own it. It's like the iPhone versus the Android. I'm more familiar with the iPhone as
Okay.
opposed to looking at someone's phone that has an Android.
I
So
have
intimidated,
an
but
Android.
that's not okay. Android guy, there you go. No shade towards any of them, but I definitely was more comfortable with GarageBand. But like I said, since Scott's my producer, I've been lucky to hand off some of my vocals to him, and he does the, more of the mixing and mastering side of things. And it's easy to navigate like GarageBand is, to look at the tools and the synths and going through like the different genres. It sections it off, and I like the organization aspect of it, but I don't know all the little nitty-gritty things that I probably should. I may need to take a class after this. You're inspiring me to probably get more into the beginner like tips and tricks for it. But yeah, definitely Logic Pro is a great investment. I think there's a lot of things that if you're a producer, mixer, like master, whatever for tracks, it's your go-to. You don't need any other side things to be able to get the job done. I just don't personally know how to do all that, but yeah,
See, I
great
know
investment.
a lot of people use Pro Tools or the Logic, and I know, and we're gonna get nerdy on this, people. I know, because you're gonna find out we're gonna get sidetracked throughout the whole conversation. I'm gonna direct us to
Yeah.
music, and we're gonna figure stuff out.
Okay.
But I'm looking to upgrade, because what I want to do is, behind me, you can kind of see what I'm doing, is I'm building a studio. Everything you see back here, I'm doing it by hand. So it's taking time and money. And what I want to do eventually is, because everybody comes to the show, when they come live, I let them play live. And so we mix their songs right here, their live songs, through the interface. And it's just simple acoustic. It's nothing major, right? It's nothing like a producer. It's kind of, but it's producer light. I'm gonna say it that way. So
Right.
I wanted to like get Logic, because I heard that you can do more with it. And that's what I want to do, to fine tune. I mean, GarageBand is great. It's free. It's awesome for what it does. And
Right.
GarageBand, Logic, if you want to sponsor the show, I'm not going to say no. Just reach out, and you're more than
Yeah.
welcome to do
There
that.
you go.
But you mentioned one thing, Go Dawgs. I just had to say it, because
Go
you
Dawgs.
graduated.
That's right.
What did you graduate with? What was your communications?
Yes,
Okay.
yes.
So,
Yeah.
is music like a right now a hobby for you? You're trying to get it going. What do you do for your day job?
So to answer your question, I'm very passionate about this. When people ask me, it is something I want to end up doing forever, because deep down we always have that thing that we gravitate towards, and music is my thing. But to be honest with you, I know it's very hard as a musician to try to make ends meet and try to pay the bills, all that stuff, just going off of hopping on gigs, right? So that's something I like to do. Like you saw me at the show doing that, and that's something I would love to do full time. But right now I'm working for a company called AccuShield, and it's very niche in what we do, but basically I sell a kiosk that provides safety and security for residents. And during COVID, we blew up because everybody, if you go into a senior community and you're walking into the front and you see the receptionist desk, typically you see a paper sign-in book, right, to sign in and say, hey, I'm here to see Susie Lou, whoever. But the kiosk is actually, it has a temperature at the top, so it takes your temperature from your tear ducts in your eyes. Really
That's
scientific
creepy.
here, but
That's
yeah,
very creepy.
it is. But it prints out a name badge for you, and it really shows accountability, like saying, hey, I am who I say I am, right? But also, I'm not sick. I'm not gonna give, Susie Lou COVID or the flu or whatever. So just the level of security for residents. And I'm really grateful for the job. I love the people I work with. We're located in like the Smyrna Battery area, so not too far from where I live now, but yeah, I do that, and I travel to different places. So in a few weeks, I'll be in Denver, Colorado, visiting communities, and I'm the customer success manager for quite a few communities, and I check in on them, making sure the system works properly. But I originally started off doing sales with them, but I transitioned into this customer success position. So that's what I'm doing as of now.
Yes. Have you ever been to Colorado before?
I have. I went to Vail here. It isn't it nice?
I love Colorado.
What part have you been to?
The first part I went to was Winter Park when I first went 15 years ago. Wow, I can't
Wow.
believe it's been that long ago. Because my wife was pregnant with the babies. They were like just in her belly. And I remember I get up there, me and my son, he's probably your age. He's born in 96. So what's that, 27? He's like 27 years old. And I remember we went up there, and my hillbilly ass decided, I'm going to go to Colorado in January, and I was like, oh, a hoodie and my jeans would be fine. And that's what I took. I had a hoodie, I had my jeans, and I am getting mountain sickness.
Oh, no kidding.
I had to go to this country ass hospital, and I remember because it was a tractor in the parking lot. It was the doctor's. I guess he just drove the tractor down to the
parking lot. Oh, my word. Oh, no.
And I ended up carrying an oxygen tank for the rest of the vacation. That's the first time I went there. I remember that was so much it was fun. I didn't care about the cold. I learned, though. And then we went back a couple more times. Then in June, we went to we stayed in Fort Collins because my son was looking to go to Colorado State. One of the, we did like a college tour. And then we went to see the Cheyenne Hotel, and we stayed right outside of Denver because I remember, like, stay lower so I don't get sick. And then recently, we went to where the hell did we go? It wasn't in Denver. It was, I honestly don't remember the name of the city now. I think it was close to Denver, but it was somewhere else. So between Denver and Estes Park.
Yeah. I will never forget the feeling whenever I went there. The temperature outside, as well as the view. There's nothing like it. It's something you see in movies, but I didn't experience it until walking outside. I went during a time where it was hot enough to where you're not super cold, but you're not miserable. And then there were snow caps on the mountains at the same time. It was just a weird type of weather that I went through, but it was really, really neat.
We had foxes, like
How
right
old
at
is your
right
other sub or your other son?
They are, I've got twins. They are 14.
What? Oh, my word.
Boy and girl.
Wow.
So
Aw, that's.
They had a blast.
Yeah.
Now,
So you have how many?
I have three total. I have Wyatt is the oldest, and then Gibson and Cheyenne are the twins.
Got it.
Yep. So they, as you can tell, Gibson was named after my guitar. Since Wyatt is the oldest, my middle name is James, so it's Jesse James. So I wanted a cowboy name. So I got Wyatt, and it's my first marriage. I didn't get Earp, but he gets James. So it's Wyatt James. And then Gibson is from my guitar. And then Cheyenne, my wife, she named her after the Reba show because she loved that shot name Cheyenne.
Yeah. My mom used to watch that too.
It's a good show.
That's yeah. My mom was more into Oprah.
Oprah.
We all Oprah.
I haven't seen an Oprah show. Does she even do shows anymore? I think she just owns a network, right? Or ONW, whatever. OWN.
Yeah. Own network.
Now, I can see you guys, because you guys can't see the video. We're only audio. But behind her is a guitar. And is that a ukulele, too? And a keyboard. So I assume you can play. Now, wait a minute. Is that a voice statue right there?
No, it's a peace. It's a peace sign, but I know. Yeah.
Okay. It looked like the voice. Like, were you on the voice?
I tried out.
did you really? I did too, but I didn't get in. Did you get in?
I got to the last round before you go to LA.
Oh.
Yeah. So I didn't make the cut for the show, but funny transition. I mean, that's perfect to talk about.
Yep.
I will say, so with the voice, it was a great experience going through the interviews, picking the songs, all that stuff. But the way that I felt about the voice, I mean, I'm a strong believer in God, and I prayed throughout each, transition into next interview, God, if it's not your will, close the door, right? And I know that there's a reason why it was closed. And had I not prayed that, I really do feel like I would have gotten upset getting the email back saying, hey, we chose our people. Sorry, do it next year. But I really do believe in God's timing. And I know that there's a reason for all of that. And I'm able to see even little bits and pieces of how things have come together now since there was that no from the voice. Right. So a little bit about me, just a side little hustle that I do, not hustle rather, but I host socials for women in their 20s and 30s looking for a way to meet new friends for free. So it's really corny, but it's called Authenticity. And it's
I
like,
couldn't say that word.
get it
Yes.
authenticity. And it's been awesome, but I've been doing that for about 9 months now. And like I said, when I got that no from The Voice, that was maybe 11 months ago, almost a year. And so it's just cool God's timing how it worked out. But I also am a small group leader for girls, and I'm a host at my apartment. So it's been really neat doing that, as well as going to these headlining shows. Like the Eddie's Attic opportunity was a moment I will never forget. And being able to do that with my band, it's, none of it could have happened had I been on the show itself. But going a little back here, so there's The Voice that I auditioned for, and all of this was virtual. But I remember back in 2018 when I told you I was, really interested in doing this music stuff and taking it a little more seriously. I remember taking off school. I was off for 2 days, I think, and went with my dad to two different cities to try out for American Idol. And the first time I ever auditioned, I was so nervous. And everybody, it's just a huge, it's for you can go for free, but you just have to be patient and wait in line. But this is different than what I see. I would grow up watching the show. Would you watch the show?
Did.
Yeah. And so watching the show, I was just so under the assumption that if anybody is wanting to try out, surely, you just get lucky if you're maybe on TV, but you're going to meet the judge the first day and they're going to say yes or no. It's not like that at
No.
all. You have to go through about four or five sessions before you even get on the show. So first time I walked into this big, it's kind of like an arena area, but you're in the room waiting in line for hours. And you finally get up to the front, and there's, maybe two or three judges, and you take turns and you say your name, you say what song you're going to sing, and they give you about 20 seconds. And then they say, okay, thank you. And then they do a little thing with their little paper, and they do a little whisper, a little whisper to the person next to them. And they basically say, okay, are we want them or not? And I remember the first time I auditioned, I did, Just the Way You Are by Bruno Mars, and I belt it. I tried so hard in my head to say, Morgan, you are going to belt it out. That was what I thought I was going to do. Jesse, I did not even make eye contact with the judge. I looked down. I was so nervous. My voice was shaking. The confidence was zero, at 0%, probably -20 if that was even possible to have. But I was so intimidated, and I remember just singing like, what am I doing? I already know this is a no. What am I? It just so down on myself. But the judge kindly was like, thank you, but I'm gonna have you try out again next year. And I'm like, all right. So I remember the next day I told my dad, I want to go to this different location, which was maybe like an hour and a half drive to the different city. I'm blanking on, I think it was somewhere in, I'm blanking. I don't want to tell you wrong. But I went to a different location, and this time I said, I'm going to choose a different song. Not just that, but I'm going to change how I view how I'm going to go into this, and I'm going to have more confidence, and I'm going to treat this as if this is life or death. And not to be dramatic, but to belt it out. And I'll never forget, and I'd waited in that line, and it was a lot waiting in that line forever, but I was finally confident to say, okay, I'm just going to sing this. So they had asked me, and this was a different round of judges, completely different city, all that stuff. Fun fact, I saw the judge who had told me no. He was like a few tables down, which is funny because, I was like hopping with him. I had no idea I was going to see him there, but tried out again. Like I said, I sang Andra Day's Rise Up song and belted it out to the point where I was so loud that the people around me stopped and like looked. That's never happened before, but I gave it my all, and they said, all right, thank you. And I remember they had two people, including me. They were like, hey, you two move forward, and then you two go to the back front row. Sorry to say, but you didn't make it. Try it again next year. And that was my no. And I went up and I told them, thank you for the opportunity, but I will never ever forget this. They said, we're looking for entertainers, not singers. And so that's what did it for, yeah, that's what did it for me, because I'm thinking more about what it looks like for American Idol, what they're needing for the show. And in order for the show to have success, they're needing someone with purple hair, with a tail, like whatever. You gotta have some type of like craziness in the show to mix with talent. And I'm sure they already had a white girl, like brunette hair, whatever, who could decently sing. So I'm just, yeah, just being real here. I think the show definitely has success, of course. But there are a lot of successful artists that I've looked up to, like Lauren Daigle, Tori Kelly, who have tried out for American Idol that didn't get the yes, but now look at them. They have a lot of success. And I also look up to them just because of their faith and the way that they have just turned it over to God. And clearly I'm here talking to you right now about them. And I do think that they're very successful, but as long as I'm able to do what God's wanted me to do at the timing that he's wanted it, that's all I care about. And so my next step into my music career is for me to work on.
You broke it up a
That's
little bit, Megan. You
what
said you're working on
questions
your
are
EP.
about. So I'm working on an EP right now, and I've been working on a specific track called Please Just Stay for about 2 years now. 2 years. The reason
Yes.
why I emphasize that is because it should take me no time to record something that I'm passionate about, but I have imposter syndrome and I get in my head about every little line. So thanks to Scott, my producer, he has encouraged me to set timelines as of recent, because I've been singing this song for 8, 9, 10 shows now this past year, and everybody's heard it who's come to my shows and supported me. But it's not on Apple Music, it's not on Spotify, it's not on any of these streaming services. And so I do thank him and other people for the accountability that it's something I need to get done. But I'm just very, very, I'm my worst critic, so it
Yes.
will eventually be done. But that's part of the EP. It's going to be that song as well as 4 or 5 others that I'm working on. So that's the next step.
Yeah, I've been working on an album for probably 2 years too. So for the band, like we have one
Really?
out. Oh, it takes forever because I'm like, we played it here in the garage, and I'm like,
It does.
it was so good. I was like, let's put it, because I don't know if you know who John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band is. It's one of my favorite bands. If you ever seen the movie Eddie and the Cruisers, that's who plays the music in that movie. And so
Okay, yeah.
my style for the band has always been, I want electric guitar and saxophone kind of battling and kind of soloing out with each other. And so the album
There you
would be called Bad For Me. And I'll let you hear it at the end, what it sounds like in the garage. But it's so good, it drives me crazy. I want a whole album. Like, I never did albums around a song. I just, whatever I
go.
have, I put together. This one did. And I'm like, ooh, it's coming together. So we're going to make all this stuff. Cause now I sing the songs for the band. Before we had a guy, speaking of American Idol, his name was Alan, was on season 10 of American Idol. And he made it through Hollywood, and he didn't get to the show. He made it to that last round. But he would sing, and he had like an R&B bluesy voice. Mine is more gritty. It's Southern rock. So it's going to be more of a Southern rock kind of an album. And that's why it's called Bad For Me. But that is funny. Everything, you're better off not being on The Voice or American Idol, because a lot of that, you said, is entertainment purposes. It's all to help them. It doesn't help the artist. So with that being said, I think we need to give Morgan another 20 seconds to sing Just the Way You Are. Go ahead, Morgan. Take
Oh my word. Are
it
you serious?
away. On spot. Go
Are
ahead.
you serious?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want some snaps?
If you go ahead, whatever you want, snaps, crackles, pop. I'm old, so
Snap, crackle, pop, just the way you were. This is funny.
I told you
Yeah,
we'd
the
get
first.
sidetracked. You say stuff on the show, you gotta be careful, because I was like, oh, well, let's try
You're like,
it.
hold on. Well, now that I'm on the spot, I'm gonna make sure I don't get the lyrics wrong. Okay.
I wouldn't know if you
Ooh,
did.
her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. Now I'm gonna go straight to the chorus. It's so funny. I've never done this before. Oh, when I see your face, it's not a thing that I would change. 'Cause girl, you're amazing, just the way you are. Thank you. I don't know if that was like 30 seconds or what,
It
but
doesn't matter. I didn't time it. I put you on the spot. That was enough.
yeah, you did. No, I need more of that. Thank you.
Course. Like I said, we always, if you listen to any past episodes, I always have, and we'll do this in a little bit, like a wheel of death. I call it wheel of death. It's kind of just random questions. So it's kind of like spitfire stuff. And one of them I used to always ask was like hidden talents, because when my mom, and you did something for me, I'll do it for you too, because I don't mind. She used to make me do karaoke as Elvis, because growing up, I used to have a weird fascination with Elvis, and I would mimic him and I would sing growing up. So the American Trilogy, every time she'd have me sing it. So I'll do a little bit for you because you
Let's
sang.
go. Let's hear.
I put
I'm
you
here
on the
for
spot. Let me get where I can hear myself. I take one, at least one off. I wish I was in Atlanta cotton, old times are not forgotten. Look away, Dixieland.
There we go. Oh,
I'll
that was
give
awesome.
myself chills when I do
How
that.
long you done that? When did you discover you could do that?
Was 8.
Oh, 8 years old?
Yes, I would sing Elvis, and then my voice changed, and then it got deeper. So I was like, oh, okay. And then that one, I could hit Elvis, but I can only do Elvis on Elvis songs. If I try to do it on like a Michael Jackson or a Prince, because I'm not big on covers. I love originals. I do originals because I'm never gonna be able to be as great as the original. So when I do the cover, but I could always do Elvis. But if you put me on Elvis, like any other song, I can't do it. It just, my brain will not flip that way. Because my daughter makes me make noises with her stuffed animals. I have to give them all different voices. So I have like so many voices run through my head, and I'm like, Dr. Evil, how about Nair? And I'm doing all these voices. And so I can mimic it, but I can't mimic it unless it's related to that specific show.
This is the go-to.
Yes.
My grandma's favorite song is "Are You Lonesome Tonight?" I don't know. I mean, you've probably heard that, right?
Oh yeah, I am lonesome tonight. Yes, my daughter wants me to learn that one. She's like, you gotta
It's so
sing it for me.
peaceful.
It
It's
is.
so peaceful. But someone I was just talking to recently said that, Elvis back in the day was huge, and think if his songs were just now coming out at this day and age. Some people would say, oh, it's like a hit. No, this is great. But others, and this is a good perspective, others will say, no, it's a little too slow, but I found that interesting because everybody has their taste. And if you heard some stuff on the radio now, but you played it to my grandma, she'd be like, what is this? Like, what? Someone slow this down. This is just trash. What are the lyrics? Why is this quality? Why are we taking this and hyping it up so much? But it's just interesting what people find appealing now versus pat, back in the past.
Yeah, I'm the same way, because my kid would put on like these rappers that go monotone. When I was in high school, I listened to rap too. I love Tupac, LL Cool J. I'd listen to actual rap. The stuff they listen to now, it's like monotone. I'm like, I can't get over this. This is a steady blah 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 blah. I was like, what? And then even as songwriters now, and this is a good kind of a topic for songwriters that are listening, is the styles that they write. Like you said, it's too slow. Like now they think it's too slow. If you listen to the words of songs, a lot of times they do. It's like a run-on sentence of words, but it fits. They put it to a good beat, or they put it to good music, and then they that's what the style is right now, and you got to learn to adjust to it.
My dad was talking to my brother about Drake. My brother loves listening to Drake, but he said my dad said what you just mimicked of the monotone of it's just different, it's very different than what they're used to. So
Well, see, my son, I let him listen to Bloodhound Gang, and he goes, Dad, how could you say about the monotone listening to Bloodhound? That's what they're doing. I'm like, no, they're
there you go.
funny. It's different.
It's different.
It's different. Well, like I said, we get to, I told you, we're going to get to your music too, because that's what we're talking about, music. Let's hear one of your songs. What I'm going to do is I'm going to share the screen with us so that you can see it, and we will pick one of your songs that you want to share with everyone. And there we go. And because, like I said, I'm a songwriter, I like stories. So I pulled up your thing right there. What is the first song you want to share with everyone?
Let's
Anyone
see.
that you got?
There's so many. I mean, all of them have different stories. And let's see. Probably Unfair, because that was one of my first ones.
Okay. So tell me the story behind Unfair.
Yeah. So Unfair was written. I was going through just a really hard breakup. Can you see me right now?
I can.
Okay. Going through a hard breakup, and it was one of those situations to where it was not supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be, but that doesn't mean that you don't still care about the person. And just like looking, going into the lyrics of what I wrote and what I meant behind those words is like the bridge, for instance. It's taken all of me. It's taken all of me not to love you harder. It's taken all of me not to pull you back in, right? And there's different parts in the song that really encompasses how I felt, and also encompassed how the other person felt, because the whole purpose, the title of it is Unfair, and it's in the perspective of the person that I was with and how it was so wishy-washy, like, do you want to be with me? Do you not want to be with me? Like, make up your mind, right? And so the purpose of me writing this was to empathize with them, right? And me kind of saying, look, I understand you're wanting, it's unfair. I get the whole thing is just extremely unfair. So yeah, if you look into the lyrics, were you saying you were gonna play it or
Oh yeah, we're gonna play it. We're gonna definitely play it.
okay.
What I'll do is I'll mute us while we play it so that you can hear it, and then I'll go back and edit everything later.
Okay, yeah. But the first line of we don't listen to the same songs. Just every little detail of it is intricately put. But some of my songs, unlike the one that you're gonna play now, some of it is inspired by different things, not so personally. Some of it is just inspired by maybe family or friends situations, all those things. But it. My goal as an artist at the end of the day is to evoke emotion into the listener. And so this song is personal to me. And the bridge, for instance, and I tell this to people in the shows, whenever I sing the bridge, I always feel very passionate because I remember when I first wrote it, I was on my floor and looking up at the ceiling, and it was dark. And all I had were these little LED lights, just like I felt it was really euphoric looking, just I felt like a middle schooler, to be honest, like a middle school girl's room. Just imagine that. But just a ton of like light. But it was an expression. It was like therapy. It really was. It was a moment of healing for me of being able to finally put into words how I was feeling deep down and expressing that through a song, even though I couldn't express it to that person, right? I could have that expressed, but not in the form of communicating it to them necessarily, but in the form of getting it out through a song. So that was healing for me. It was very emotional. And so at the end of the day, even if it doesn't touch 1,000 people or whatever, if it is out there and it's my heart and it can help one person feel closer to tap into their heart, then that's a win in my book. So
Absolutely. There's that Garth Brooks song where he sings like he saves the bird, and the guy's like, "You saved one. What does it matter?" And the guy says, "Well, to that one, it matters to the world." So
wow, I love that.
it's I get it. Perfect. So what I'm gonna
Yeah.
do, Morgan, I'm gonna mute us, and I'm gonna play Unfair. You just give me a thumbs up when you hear it.
Okay.
time I feel you near me, my eyes light up in pins. Love me or leave me, love me or leave me, no one compares. All this emotion, wholehearted devotion, you'd say it's unfair. It's unfair.
I really like that. It's
thank you.
The love you harder line is really good. That stuck out.
Thank
the
you.
Strings and always make mm-hmm. my notes right here.
Oh, thanks.
I'm listening to it, and it's not the tone of the voice, but it's the way that you got these little flips and stuff in your voice, and the way you do little certain runs. That's kind of like an undertone to me. It reminds me of Amy Winehouse. Just the way that she would flow. It's not the tone, but the way she would sing. And I was like, because I can't do that. I mean, there's no way in hell I could even make my voice try. But I really like that.
Thank you so much. That's definitely a compliment there. She has that R&B mm-hmm. type soul in her. And I also like her because she uses the chest voice, you know, but she also can use the head voice. And like you said, the flips. So she's someone that I definitely admired, like growing up listening to her, like Rehab, the Shadow, maybe go to Rehab, you know, that is so fun to sing.
No, yep.
Yeah. I love singing her stuff. But the way it's funny, like listening to how I sound in that versus how I sing it in a live setting, mm-hmm. I've grown. I do feel like I've grown in my voice. I have experimented more with how I sing and how I'm using my chest more and not being afraid to really belt it and be confident in it. And it's okay to sing high and do that little angelic type sound. But I do feel like I'd be doing myself a disservice if I didn't tap into the chest voice that I have deep down. I love it. Like the R&B, like the gospel type soul, like that's hidden. It's hidden deep down. But when I bring it out, I love it.
Now, see,
so, thank you.
I heard it. You guys, when I heard her sing, that's the first I sit here thinking about it. Cause I'm a songwriter. I can sing, I do that, but I'd rather be the songwriter and write songs for artists like yourself. And I wrote a blues song that a lady named Miss Freddie took, and she made it like a number one hit in the UK. She just released it.
Wow, no kidding.
Yes, and I'm so
congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. I'm so proud of it. And off air, I'll let you hear some of this stuff. But what she could do with her voice, when I wrote it, I'm like, I'll never be able to sing it that way. And as a songwriter, I understand that my job, you mentioned it, is to emote emotion. Well, yeah. My voice is not going to do the same kind of emotion that your voice would do, right? So like if you hear me in the dark, you're scared. Nope, you don't want to hear it. You want to go the other way. I get it. I'm made for rock and roll, but I'm country as hell. And I get that. So as a songwriter, I like pitching stuff like that. Do you ever try to co-write or take people's songs and listen to them and try to make them your own?
As in take them and making them your own. You mean like
cut
doing
them, like,
different?
Yeah, like cut their song. Well, it'd be like it's not a cover, but you would cut. Like if somebody came as a songwriter came to you, you're like, Morgan, I had this song. I think it would be great for you. Will you listen? And if you cut, and then like I said, you're building an EP or album because you want to be the artist. Would you consider singing somebody's song?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. I've had different situations, and some people are they have the instrumental, you know, of what they're going for, and they give me the freedom to write what I want based off of what I hear. And that's recess to me. I love that kind of thing when they give me free rein. But at the same time, I know there are some things that people have asked me to do of, hey, talk about this topic, you know, run with, and they give me something, they give me a little bit of like, make it about the summertime, you know, or talk about a relationship, and then they get specific. And so I come up, you know, I got my wheels turning for that. But I don't take any lyrics from songs that I already know and like do remixes on them professionally or anything. But I do one thing, now that you bring it up, one thing I love to do is take a song and twist it into a different genre. So if there's a country song, right? Or I'm trying to think of an example.
Yep. No, I get it.
So Flowers by Miley Cyrus, the I can buy myself flowers, you know, if I do that, but I made it into like an EDM type house beat. And I did that recently, and I have that on my social media, on the Morgan Beck Music account. And I made it really like club-esque. Like you would hear it at like a dance party or something. But it was fun. I like doing that kind of stuff. So I switched the genre. More likely than not, though, you'll find me taking a song and making it R&B. Because I think at the end of the day, that's kind of where my heart is deep down. Like I told you, with the soul. So doing that kind of stuff. But yeah, do you do that kind of stuff?
I do. I what I normally do is, like I said, with and you kind of mentioned it. This is funny because I'm gonna transition to this here in a second. But with like my songs, when I write them, I can come up with an idea, whether it's rock or hip hop or R&B, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But like when I do a cover song, I'll take Prince. All right. And there's no way I'm gonna be able to sing it like Prince. There's no way I can play it. So I'm gonna flip it and I'm gonna make it my own. And I'd rather do that. Now, the same thing, like I have songs that I will present to, and this is and what you said, people need to really listen to this, is when you, as a songwriter, I'll let you hear one and I think you'd get killed. You want to do it? Great. If you don't, you don't have to. I'll let you hear it again at the end. But I think when somebody gives a song out, you have got to be open to letting the artist put their own spin on it, because they're not going to sing the same melody. They're not going to sing, and they may want to change some words or some phrasing because it fits their style. And I've been told, I have a buddy in Nashville that he started Trick Pony, and he says they won't even let songwriters in the room when they're recording, usually the bigger artist, because they don't want their opinion. They got their song. Let us do what we do.
Interesting.
And, you know, you just take your royalty check and, you know, shut your mouth.
Wow.
So it's good that people understand, like I get it. Songwriters are like your babies. You hold these songs, you're close, you put all these emotions into it, and you're like, oh, this is my baby. And then you hand it to somebody and they turn it R&B. It's like, I'm not an R&B artist. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. You're a songwriter. They're an R&B artist. Let them be an R&B artist and be quiet about it.
Yeah. 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 That's a very good point. But it's scary. It's scary with, for instance, the voice. And it's perfect segue into what you were just talking about. Just with where I see myself as an artist, I very much It's really hard trying to figure out what to put on my Instagram bio or any bio in general. Like, who am I? I don't know. Like, more like who am I not? I don't know. I feel like I'm more than just a singer. You know, I'm a sister. Like, I'm a daughter. Like, there's so much more to me just than just music. But if I had to really describe who I am as a artist, that is difficult too, because I've feel like I love so many different genres. And with The Voice, for instance, on the show, I know they put you into a category based off of they give you a coach based off of what your vibe is, you know? And I write country music. I sing country music sometimes, but that doesn't mean that I would go and claim that I'm gonna be on this country person's team. You know what I'm saying? Like, say whatever country artist is doing The Voice right now, whatever judge, like I wouldn't necessarily be on his or hers. Like, I may be on John Lennon's, like with the R&B more pop, you know. So I consider myself a multi-genre artist. I don't like to be put into a specific box, but I know that with doing things that way, it's less opportunity for me to successfully thrive in one category. But that's not my mission. My mission is to put out what I love to do. And if that's R&B one day and then that's country the next, awesome. But I've had to really come to realizing that my level of success is not defined by like a number, but more about what I get and what other people around me get out of those songs. And so I love doing all different genres, but it took me until recently to let that be okay and not feel like, oh, well, you have to be put into a category in order to thrive. So it's yeah. I like that you said that though about this, like the Nashville stories and stuff. It's interesting because Nashville is very known for, you know, you gotta have this certain set and you gotta be firm in this and there's no change in it. And then yeah, it's I as an artist, I get scared and intimidated by the structure. But that's not to say I wouldn't be for recording a song that someone wants me to sing a certain way. I definitely would be interested in all different stuff. But how often do you go to Nashville, by the way?
I'd like to I go more in the wintertime because we talk about like our daytime jobs. My daytime job is I own a pest control company. So I'm
Yeah, there you go.
spring through summer and fall. I'm really busy. Winter, I get to go up there more. So I'll go
Okay.
right. I try to get up when our kids are on break. Sometimes we'll go up there. We'll go up to Nashville and I'll play some rounds. And I went a couple weeks ago. I went up there and played at a vegan restaurant actually. And I'm like, I'm not a vegan, so but I went there and it's like, I don't know what I'm gonna eat. I'm starving. Let's go to the Commodore and play. But I try to get there
Yeah.
when I can. I get up there more in the winter than I do in the summertime, which I wish I could get up more. But I love it around here. I want to make it the same kind of around Nashville because Nashville now has changed. It's before it was all about original music, songwriter rounds, original music. Now there is actually schools teaching, and I've had guests on the show that have been to these schools. They basically put them as a cover band. And so they got to learn nothing but covers and they play up and down what is that street? I can't think of the name. I got New Orleans in my head for some reason. I'm thinking Bill Street, but that's not it. That's New Orleans.
But yeah,
Up and
I know what you're talking about, that main strip.
yeah, so they're playing nothing but covers. And I'm like, that's kind of defeats the purpose of Nashville. But
Yeah, well, of course.
that so I don't get to bear as much. I wanted to hear in Georgia as well too, but I know when you say Nashville, buddy, still they'll travel. I'm at a podcast episode coming out in a couple weeks, guys, from somebody named Elizabeth and Jameson. I met them in Nashville playing at the vegan restaurant. They're from the UK. Amazing duo. I mean, crazy, crazy good. Their harmonies were sick. I'm like,
Oh wow.
I don't even want to play. I just want to stand and listen to you guys.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
that's how much. Have you been up to Nashville?
I have. Yeah, I've been so one of my songs, Matter of Time, it was the first one I ever dropped on any like streaming service. And in honor of like celebrating that, my friend, she lives in Nashville and she had me stay with her and we celebrated there. And I got to see like and experience what it looked like. And man, I mean, it's a lot of hype down that strip, you know, everybody's all the different bars, all the different music opportunities and stuff. But it's very compact. Like there's so much of it all in one strip that there's just the constant, not comparison, but competition, I guess you can say. Yeah. And it's all about connections. I mean, from what I've heard is like, you got to know somebody in order to pop off, like all these different things. And so it's hard. It's hard. I've only been there, I think, once or twice. So I would love to sing there though.
Yeah, I've been in a couple rounds and see, that's one thing. And you mentioned that, and the people going to Nashville, you need to be careful because who you talk with, because a lot of times people go up there and they got this mentality. And I don't say a lot, but they go up there and they're either too nervous to talk to people, or they don't network, you know, or they're kind of like brush people off. Guys sitting in jeans or overalls, and you're not thinking about it. I went into a round. This guy, he wasn't a very good like guitar player, but he was a good writer, but he had to play, you know, when to get your songs out, you got to play them. Well, he wrote with Garth Brooks, and you wouldn't know it listening to him, you know, because you was like, you'd think, oh, well, every songwriter is a great singer. That's not true. I consider myself a songwriter / singer. I'll do it when I have to, but
sure. I mean,
you don't know, this guy was a nice guy. And he helped write Unanswered Prayers for Garth. I mean, this guy was just crazy talented.
Wow. Nice,
down to earth. And we the round that we played in, it was so funny. We played in this rundown town with the pipes are leaking. And so we're playing.
No way.
And they're doing videos and everything for it. But I mean, you never know who you play with in Nashville. It's so
that's
funny.
That's incredible though. That's a good point though, because you can be incredibly, incredibly talented as a songwriter, but get overlooked because of the lack of the vocals there. But that doesn't, I mean, that's their strength though, is the writing. And then you have the other way around. Some people have, you know, they have a great, great voice, but they couldn't come up with two lines if their life depended on it, you know? So it's fascinating what people I'm seeing now in the Grammys or whatever, and they're winning these awards. And then you look at the credits and you see who wrote it or who did the instrumentation and stuff. And you're like, there's wow. Five. Okay. So you've had help by five people. Like I respect that all those people are doing that, but they also deserve the credit, you know, they deserve just as much hype. And yeah, I applaud all the people who are behind the scenes on big names. That's something I'm passionate about. Like John Bellion, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he writes for so many of these artists that you've heard of. Like I'm blanking at the moment, but like Jonas Brothers, Miley Cyrus. There's so many. Don't credit me on that. I'm butchering that, but I know the Jonas Brothers are the ones that John Bellion has wrote for, but he has his own music and he is extremely gifted and talented on the production side and everything, but he has his own stuff out, but he's very, very low key. He's not about being in the spotlight. And I respect that. I respect that so much. He's just he's a hidden gem. He's not in the spotlight, but if you look back at all these different artists, Justin Bieber's one. He wrote for Justin Bieber on some of his stuff, but the man's so talented. You should look him up. Anyone listening to this, they should look into the stuff that he's done. He's extremely gifted.
John Bellion. I'm writing his name down. That's like Dean Dillon here for George Strait. Writes every song. Mm-hmm. Every album has a Dean Dillon song on it. Dean Dillon, oh, wow. Tennessee Whiskey.
You know, no kidding.
Amazing songwriter.
Wow. Amazing.
But again, low key, he just, you know, he takes his checks and he plays out still and he does shows. And I mean, there's so much wealth of knowledge of people like that. It's crazy to think how you hear these guys and they're like, you're so talented. Like, how are you not found? Well, maybe they don't want to be found. You never know.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
But let's hear another one of your songs. Let's.
Okay.
Miss Morgan Beck does want to be found. So let's find her a song. What song you want to do next, Morgan?
So this is going to be a different vibe.
That's fine with me. I'm like a iPod shuffle.
Let's see. A lot of the stuff I have about like 15 that are just like chilling on my on my computer right now undone that are way more of what my vibe is now. But
What
let's
if you
do,
want to email me one, send it to me, and we'll play that too.
Let's do Matter of Time.
Matter of Time. Okay. Tell me the story.
Yeah. So this one is one of my very first ones. But this was inspired by it was kind of like a story plot. So whenever I think of how I want to write stuff, sometimes it starts with the instrumentation of hearing, okay, I like the beat to this, or I like the way that this synth sounds, or I heard this story one time and this kind of makes me feel like people could relate to this, or even I could relate to. So Matter of Time is about a girl who is in a situation where she's known a guy for a long time, but they've never had a romantic anything, but it's been known where if enough time is given, it would make sense for them eventually one day to be together.
That's
So
cool.
thank you. So it's called Matter of Time. And the first line is like, never did I think of you. Never did you think of me too, until you walked away. Never did I stop by so I could just say hi. You never gave me the time of day. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time until I see you again. So I'll let you go ahead and play it.
Yep. That's like James Blunt, the Your Beautiful song, you know, where he's talking about the moment in the subway where he meets and she'll never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny you said subway, because that's the cover photo of it is actually in a subway.
Is it really? Look at that.
Yeah.
See, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing.
Real quickly, the bridge to it is it was very fun to write this because I felt almost like I was rapping. And I always say this in the shows, but it goes, I know you're tired and you're feeling blue. Trust me, baby, I feel it too. I know that you're sick of feeling beat down, running in circles, this merry-go-round, and you're crying. You're just trying to make it through. And then I repeat it again. But I'm putting myself in the shoes of the person that's just so fed up with not having their person. And they're just devastated. They're like, okay, am I ever going to find my dream girl or whatever, you know? And I'm empathizing, saying, I know you're tired and you're feeling blue. Trust me, baby. I feel it too. So I'll let you play.
Never did I think of you, never did you think of me too, until you walked away. Never did I stop by so I could just say hi. You never gave me the time of day. It's just a matter of time.
That is a great song.
Thank you.
That's got that earworm vibe beat that you just like stuck in your head, and you're like, you just dun, dun. I want to write a song to that beat. I love that beat.
Thank you. That was one that I saw on Logic.
Really?
It was, yes. Yeah, I wrote that starting out with a beat, hearing that like whatever you hear that little tap, those taps are, and the choir, I played it. It's so cool. It's so fun to mess around with. So if you go on Logic and you go to the orchestra section, you can click on choir and you can hook your keyboard up to the, you know, it's a MIDI, so I'm able to play whatever, but it has the gospel. So every key all the way down to the very last, like from the low end to the high end on the keys, it goes options for a gospel to go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then all the way up to like, oh yeah, you know? And so it's so fun. So I played it together and I thought, what if I do a low end, mid vocal and a high of them going, oh yeah. And then I changed it to go, oh yeah, oh yeah. And so I made it into like a synchronized type of thing. But I like the cinematic gospel euphoric type sounds. And so hearing that up next to the beat, it just sounded so cool in my head. So I ran with that. But you don't hear that live. So thank you for playing that. But that's a whole nother side of me that I don't feel like gets shown at all, because people aren't sitting in my little room studio watching that side of things. But thank you for sharing that one.
When I get Logic, you're gonna have to show me how you did that. Because
definitely.
I'm gonna put interface, but I want to see how to do that. So if you, when I like,
oh yeah,
I'll get Logic one day, and you, okay, Morgan, come show me how you did the MIDI and the da.
Yes, yes.
That looks so much fun.
Oh now, yeah.
The melody on that is so crazy good. I like that. I wrote it in here.
Thank
the melody.
You.
I wrote that because I heard the clock tick in. I'm listening to all these different sounds.
You see, and yeah, you hear them.
Is the 11-11 important? Is that, does it mean
so something? 11-11? Yes, thank you for asking. That was a significant, just with someone from the past, that was the thing that was said. If we saw 11-11, that was significant. And so that was why I tied that into, I'm going to make a wish, you know, it's 11-11. Yeah.
See, I pay attention.
That was funny you noticed that. Hope that I'm lucky. It's 11-11. Yeah. It's funny. I sang that on St. Patrick's Day. So just the whole theme of hope that I'm lucky. It's 11-11, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, the crowd was there. They were all having fun. And so them hearing that hopefully was ringing it all in together.
She's talking about, she played for at Mad Life, she played with Miss Taylor Dane. She opened up for her. I was there. I saw you. A really good job. You did an amazing job.
Thank you.
You do miss some of the, what your style and brand is when you play live, because I mean you can't, without putting tracks, you want a band, and you had like your guitar player and playing you, so you do kind of miss some of the nuance of what you're trying to make your song sound like.
That
song that we just listened to is very syncable. You could hear it in TV shows, you'd hear it in movies. It's very
syncable.
It would fit perfectly.
Thank you.
Of course. No, thank you. I mean, you wrote it. I didn't do nothing but turn the damn thing on.
That's one of my goals as an artist, is to hopefully have something. Like, I'm actually, thank you for bringing that up. I just wrote something a few days ago, and I told my brother, me and my brother live together. We get along great.
I could say that my sister.
No, but I wanted him to hear something that I wrote, because I said, hey, does this sound kind of like something that would be played at the end of like a Lion King movie, you know, like a Disney themed Lion King, something where everybody is like feeling like kumbaya. Like it's, if I played it for you, it's the most crazy, most random thing. But like I said, the multi-genre, like that's my vibe. I don't like to stick to one, but I wrote something that I really feel strongly that could sound like a cinematic type vibe, maybe in like the, at the very end of the movie, how they show all the credits. So, yeah.
See, that's because you're a songwriter. Songwriters, people keep asking, we mentioned that, people's like, what genre are you in? I like to ask, I watch them squirm, but I know you can't really justify what you are. You're multiple. I call it mutt music. When somebody asks me what we am or what we are, I says mutt music. Everybody loves a mutt. It's a mixture of rock, mixture of country, because of the way I sound, it's R&B, it's blues. It's just mutt.
Mutt
It's a
music.
big old mutt. You know,
That's
that's who we
clever.
are.
Yeah. That's really
Mutt.
clever.
I have that every now and then. I get those clever moments. That's why I called the band Yes Ma'am. It stands for middle-aged men.
There you go.
So we're gonna do one more song. We got 20 questions. Like I said, are you okay with time?
Yeah, I'm just plugging my phone in real quick.
Okay. I just didn't, like I said, well, I told you we get sidetracked and
You're
we
good.
will go. So
Yeah, no, one more is great. Yeah, I'm good.
okay. So tell us, everybody, what's the last song that you want to share? And then we'll get into like the 20 questions, and we'll talk a little bit off air too. But what's the last song you want to share with everybody?
I'm fine.
Okay.
That one's
And
EDM.
EDM. Is it the Jack Rush extended one? Is that what that is?
Not that one. That was someone who took it and did their own thing
Oh, I
with it.
see. Okay.
Yeah, that yeah.
So what is the
Okay.
story about I'm Fine?
Okay, so back before I went to UGA, I actually attended a school called Dallas Baptist University.
Okay.
And that was a yeah, private Christian school. I was in a real crazy, toxic, awful relationship with a guy, and my parents didn't like him. They were like, "You need to break up with him, like, or you're moving home." And they threatened me, and they said, "If you don't get out of that, you are moving home." And I said, "Of course, what a college girl would do is, I'm gonna stay. Like, no, I'm not getting out of it." So with the threats and everything, I ended up moving back home. I really did. And I went to UGA. But it like I'm very thankful for that time, even though it was a really unfortunate relationship. I learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about, how people can be and the importance of respecting yourself and so on and so forth. But the reason I'm saying this is because this is exactly what the song was. I remember writing it, and the first lines that came to me were, "You change your mood like the change in all four seasons. Don't you know that you were someone I believed in? I'm fine without you. You looked right at me and you asked me to change. We both know that it doesn't work that way. I'm fine without you." And you'll hear more of it. But my buddy Tyler, he does EDM music, and he said, "Hey, I want us to write together." And he sent me an instrumental track. And I said, "No way." Because I had just gotten done writing "I'm Fine," just for fun or whatever it would look like. Maybe on the guitar. I didn't know the vibe of what instrument am I gonna play this on? Because I have the lyrics, but I don't know what vibe I should do. Little did I realize how perfect it was gonna be, because he sent me the instrumental of his thing that he had going, and I said, "Tyler, I have the lyrics already. Like, let's do this, because I already have a lyrics, everything for what this could be." And so I recorded it and we ran with it, and then actually sent it to a label, a record label in a different country, which respectfully is something that I needed to look more into before agreeing to. Because now they own the rights to this song, and it was written, I wrote it, and so it's unfortunate there. But out of respect for just like Tyler and being able to be a part of this process, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about being an upcoming artist, of what to say yes to and how to be careful and things. But getting it mastered, mixed, and he did such a good job on it. But this is "I'm Fine," and it's thankfully my most successful one, and I think the record label, of course, helped with that. But yeah, this is this one.
Fine without you.
I didn't even know I liked EDM, guys. So you guys can't see video, but I'm over here dancing the way a white man will dance. You know, I'm just shaking. That's all I got. I'm sorry. It reminded me. It's funny. I got a couple images listening to it. One of them, this time your voice kind of reminded me of Ellie Goulding. Ellie Goulding? Did I say name? Goulding?
I don't Goulding? Know Thank
Goulding.
You.
Ellie Goulding. Yes. And then, but the visual, because it's EDM, the only EDM song I can think of. I don't know if you ever seen the movie White Chicks with Terry Crews. And he's out there dancing with the lights. And he's like, what it reminded me. I don't know why.
No way. I need to look that up because I'm curious how similar it sounds to what you just listened to.
I think it's just the beat.
Okay, yeah.
And he's dancing to it. I'm going to tell you right now. It's not a. It's just kind of a dirty movie, but it's funny.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll skip to just that part.
Terry Crews is hilarious. So it's a funny movie. Thank you, Morgan, for coming on the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun little moment to share. Kind of you sparked more inspiration for me to record tonight and get things out. So I appreciate you and all the questions and you listening and being so intentional about the little bits and pieces of the lyrics. So thank you.
Sure. We're not done yet. So we still got the one question game and like off stuff. But
sure, before I'm ready
we get into
it.
That, tell everybody all your social media, where they can find you, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. My Instagram is Morgan Beck Music, and my TikTok, you can just type in Morgan Beck Music and it'll pop up there as well. And I on Spotify, it's just Morgan Beck, and Apple Music is the same thing.
Okay. My son says Facebook is for old people. So like I said, he's your age. So that's, I get that. So when I have a younger guest, I always skip over Facebook. I look right at Instagram. Like, okay, is this where they're at? Let me send them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on Facebook too. It's just Morgan Beck. Yeah. Nothing complicated.
All right. So this is a spin the wheel kind of game. I said, come up with random questions and okay. You're younger, so this may fit. What's the weirdest trend you've ever participated in?
Oh, doing a little silly dance on TikTok.
I can't dance. Nobody wants to see me dance.
I can't either. I shouldn't have done it. It's one of those that just goes viral and everybody's trying to do it and mimic it. But yeah.
See, okay, this is going to show my age because when you're doing this dance on TikTok, are you listening to the music? Or are you just dancing like the?
I'm going to the extent of slowing down the tutorial to make sure that I do the moves exactly right. Yeah, there's like an option to do that. I haven't gotten on TikTok to do any of that stuff in a while, but I know from it would be like a bonding thing that I would do with my friends. Mm. We would slow down the tutorial and make sure that our arm, you know, or our movements are doing the exact same thing, and then you speed it up. And anyways, that's what I'm embarrassed to say that.
See, my generation can't really say anything because I know we all did the same thing to Thriller. I promise you, we all did.
I've seen the dance.
You ever seen that movie 13 going on 30 when they do the Thriller dance? That's hilarious. That just brought so many memories back. I was like, oh God. It's like, I really did that. Yep, I did.
Yeah, that was me.
Here's a good one because you're kind of starting out. Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Definitely having more shows and more music out and hopefully doing something impactful to where my music is helping people to some extent. And I know I say that, that's how I want that to be the case tomorrow, you know, but in 5 years, I definitely want to have an album, EP, and several opportunities of gigs and shows, in my belt or behind my, whatever that quote is, you know, on my resume, whatever, to say that I've done.
Well, so you've opened for Taylor Dane. So that's a pretty big accomplishment. How did you get that one? Did you happen to find into it? I haven't asked that. I should have asked that question, but I hadn't yet.
So she was actually my neighbor. I'm kidding. No, that's the April Fool's joke for the day. But I didn't know of her because I'm 26, but my parents knew who she was. But the way it happened was I was playing at Mad Life doing like the outside patio gigs and stuff with my band. And, one day, I met the director. He's kind of the manager over making sure that he books all whatever artists, whatever days. He's the head man there. Greg, he is very responsible for that whole Taylor Dan opportunity, he messaged me and on Instagram was like, hey, do you want to open for the, I'll never forget, he all caps, the Taylor Dane, March 17th. And it's funny because I was on a bachelorette trip. I'd planned a bachelorette trip with my friend. She's getting married soon. And I'd already had my flight for Sarasota, Florida. Was just like, ah, sorry. And I instantly was like, sorry, I'm not going to be in town. And he's like, oh, that's unfortunate. And then I look her up and like, okay, so she's a big deal. And I told my parents this opportunity and they go, Morgan, like, and you didn't turn it down, though, right? Like, surely you didn't turn it down. I said, oh, I already, you know, told him no, because I'm going to be in Florida. And so thankfully I was able to, you know, go on the bachelorette trip, spend time with my friend, and also take a flight home early to make it to the show. And so it all worked out. I give all of my thanks to Greg for orchestrating that and letting that happen.
See, who she's talking about, guys, is Greg Shaddix. And Greg has been on the show. It's funny because me and Greg started podcasting around the same time. He used to have the Mockingbird podcast, and I started the Georgia nice. Songbirds. Had the same guest, had the same problems. It was so funny because it was kind of like, did separate things, but we ended up doing the same thing together. I played on stage with him multiple times. Where me and him are actually starting a paranormal YouTube podcast next week. So, because he loves ghost hunting, so we're gonna like ghost hunt. Here at my house, like if you'd come up here, you'd see there's a family graveyard in the back, and we're gonna start there. And we're gonna do other things too. But yeah, she's talking about Greg Shaddix and Mad Life. Yeah, I know Greg. That was a weird spin. I hit it awesome. And want to go very slow. What's one secret you still keep from your parents?
Well, they're probably going to listen to this. Well, I really don't know. Can we spin again?
I don't know if it's this bad. I think I want to hear the story.
I mean, if anything, I feel like I tell them too much.
That's fine. I had a lady come on a show one time and said the same things. Like, I can't answer this question. I'll answer it off air.
Yeah.
But to be fair, her parents were with her at the time. So I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. I don't have anything on the top of my head, but I'm sure probably after this, I'll be like, hey, by the way,
right.
Just can't think of anything right now.
Okay. I got another question. What's the weirdest thing that you've ever eaten?
Weird or like bad tasting?
Whatever you want to answer. There's no right or wrong way to answer this.
The worst thing, weirdest, odd thing I've ever tasted was a cricket.
Okay.
Like a dried cricket.
And why were you eating cricket?
And then it was in like elementary school. I think there was a kid that had like a baggie of them. And he said, no, they're edible. You can eat them. And it was a cricket. And it tasted kind of like, what do you call those? Like a sunflower seed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a crunchy sunflower seed. That's the best way I can describe it. Weirdest thing. But another one I will say is space food. And I had that when I was younger. Someone brought it to class. I think the teacher had us try space food. And it was the most interesting consistency, but it melts in your mouth. It's not like cotton candy. It's kind of I can't even describe it. It's so weird.
Okay. Yeah. That's my favorite. I've never had space food. I wouldn't even know like cotton candy is weird, but what's that? What is it they talk about? Like the melts in your mouth, but not in your hand. Like, was that
hurt or something? Isn't that unfortunate? Now, the space food was, I wouldn't recommend it. Really wouldn't. I don't even think you can buy it anywhere. Probably just in Mars, right?
Unless you buy Tang. I don't know if you remember Tang. We had.
No,
Tang.
I don't.
Oh, tell your parents. They will remember Tang. Tang we had. It was like the astronauts took too, but it was basically like an orange powder that you put into water and you made, it's not Kool-Aid, but it's got Kool-Aid. It's called Tang, T-A-N-G.
Oh.
Most of the older people would know. And it wasn't bad if you knew how to make it. Well, my mama didn't tell me how she made it. So when I put it together, it's like, this doesn't taste right. It
was gross. Wow. Ew.
Well, I got one more question here. They always asked at the end and then we'll talk about off air, but songwriter, a lot of songwriters, a lot of people listening to this are the same boat. They're following their dreams, they're chasing their dreams. So what's the best advice that you have ever received?
Be confident. Be confident in who you are, who you are, your brand, what and who you are, what you encompass, every life experience and thing and story that you have is so different. And it's something that you have, and you can make it any life situation or unfortunate event that you've experienced, you can turn for good. You can turn it into a story that can impact someone else. And I've seen at the forefront of a show that I had recently where I was able to express something that I wrote, staying true to me, not writing something that I just thought someone would want to hear, but really out of personal experience, being able to share that and be me, was able to impact somebody in the crowd. And they came up to me and said, this helped me so much. And they were bawling, and it's never happened before, but it was so special. And turns out the reason I wrote that was because of XYZ. And they said, no way. I was impacted. I cried because I was thinking about XYZ. So it's very cool like that. So long story short, if I had not been true to myself, and I wanted to just hide that or hide that part of me or whatever, then I wouldn't have been able to impact that person. So stay true to you. Don't try to go to turn into what you hear on the radio or whatever. Stick to yourself, because people need to hear more of your uniqueness.
And that's really good advice. So thank you. And thank you again, Morgan, yes, for coming on the show. I said we're going to talk off air over here in a second. But before we go, tell everybody one more time, all your social media, wherever you want them to find you. Sing some more Bruno Mars if you want.
Oh my gosh. I'll be cheesy. It's important to be just the way you are. There and you my go. Instagram is Morgan Beck Music, and on Spotify and Apple Music, it's just Morgan Beck. Thank you.
All right, everybody, this is Georgia Songbird. That was Miss Morgan Beck.